Well, here, today we're on Luke chapter 8. Fear, not faith. I don't know if you struggle with any fears or not, but you do? Pardon? Faith, not fear? Oh, I get it mixed up. Oh, all right, just straighten me out. I know we had our granddaughter here not too long ago, and in the middle of the night, our granddaughter was standing there at the side of the bed and kind of sobbing a little bit, and she was afraid. She was afraid because she was upstairs and we were downstairs, and she was in a strange house. She wasn't in her own home, and so, you know, somebody had to go upstairs and sleep with her and help her have that little sense of security and safety so she wouldn't be afraid and she could sleep in peace. I don't know if you've ever been there or done that, but I know that sometimes when I come home late at night, all the lights downstairs are off and upstairs are open and the lights are on all outside the house. And Sherry doesn't want to be downstairs alone. She wants to be upstairs. So we have those, fears. But faith, let's talk about our faith. And that's exactly what this scripture does. It reminds us of faith. Now here, Luke chapter 8, it just says, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, that you are probably all very familiar with this passage, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out, and they sailed. He, being Jesus, fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Well, you know, as I started to look into this, immediately they started to, you know, talk about, you know, there's a lot of details that are deliberately omitted from this passage. Now, if you are a sailor, if you know anything about boats, then you're asking, well, what kind of boat? How big was the boat? How big was the sail? You know, and, you know, how experienced were the sailors? Well, we know the disciple being fishermen on this same sea that they were experienced sailors. And this was probably one of their fishing boats, and on we might go. But the focus of the passage is not the boat. The focus of the passage is their faith. And it's all about their faith and the focus on faith, the nature of faith, and how we need to have our faith increased. And so faith is what we'll talk about today, not the boat or the fishing. But let me tell you a boat story. I've told you I've got a brother that has a boat, and it's a rather nice fishing boat. And I've been out on Lake Michigan with him, and it's, for me, it's a treat. For him, it's whatever and whenever he wants to go. And I can't believe that all the other brothers don't want to go with him all the time. But yeah, to go out on the boat with Mark and catch, coho salmon and king salmon, it's just fun. It's executive fishing, you know. He sets it all up because he's got his way of doing it, and you don't want to touch it. But do you ever think of the church as a boat? Do you ever think that Jesus is in the boat with us as the church? And that we're sailing across this sea and we're going to come up against storms? I was in Canada a few times fishing, but one time in particular, they warned us, if a storm comes up, get off the lake immediately. And I thought, you know, aren't you being a little overreactive? You know, I mean, we got a boat anyway, you know, and how big can the waves be? Well, I found out, you know. And we're stranded on an island in the midst of a storm, and that lake turned into just, oh man, I would never want to be out on that lake in that storm. Well, do you not think these disciples knew how difficult this storm was? And we even catch them at a point where they have worked and they have fought the wind and the waves and they are losing the battle. The boat is being swamped. So that means water's coming over the bow, and it's starting to fill up the boat. And so they know that they are in great danger, and when they wake Jesus up, what do they say? We're going to drown. We're going to drown. It's not if we drown, it's we're going to drown. Now, when you're sleeping, what do you like if somebody startles you and wakes you up? You know, I like my power naps, by the way. And one time my grandson jumped on my lap in the middle of a power nap and startled me and woke me up, and I just slapped him across the head. So I'm just warning you, if you see me sleeping, don't be jumping on me and waking me up and startling me. And then I had to hug him and ask him to forgive me. Oh, it was just a mess. So, now we're talking about faith. We're not talking about power naps or boats or anything. So if you now to look at Luke chapter 8, he says, Master, 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 we're going to drown. If you look at the parallel passage in Matthew, they say, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. If you look at Mark, it says, Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown? And Jesus' response in each of those, in Luke, where's your faith? In Matthew, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? In Mark, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The focus is our faith. If you look at the context of each of these passages, you see miracles that Jesus is performing, you know, following this event on the sea. And then Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. And when he sends them out to do the same ministry that Jesus is doing, to heal the sick, to overcome the demons, and to preach the kingdom of God, he gives them power and authority. The same power, the same authority that he has in over the wind and the waves, over the demons, over life and death, over illness, sickness, and disease. In the context of all of this, Jesus is discipling. He is showing by example. They're on the job being trained to do the ministry of Jesus Christ, and it's going to require faith. It's going to require great faith. It's going to require a faith that believes that God is able to do the supernatural, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all you ever ask or imagine, that God is alive and well and keeping his promises. And when you go in the power and authority of Jesus Christ, you're going to see miracles happen. You're going to see people healed. You're going to see life and death, life overcome death. You're going to see people repent of their sin and come to faith in Jesus Christ and experience that new life through faith in Jesus. Okay, so faith. Faith, not fear. I got that straight. Faith is foundational. Think about that for just a minute. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we are to live by faith, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. We have assurance of what we do not see. That's the definition of faith. Being sure of what you can't see with the human eye. But you know, because God's word says so, because we know of the existence of God, we believe that God exists, that God is at work in our world, that God is at work in our lives, that God is at work in our family, that God is alive and well and working. And we believe that. Now, you know, I hate to go to Hollywood and Harrison Ford, but remember Indiana Jones and the search for the Holy Grail? How many? Anybody remember that? Oh, we got a few. Okay. Now, I don't remember much, but what I do remember is that he was going to the in search of the Holy Grail, and there was this big chasm that he had to cross, and according to whatever instructions or path he was following, there was a faith walk. There was a walk that spanned this chasm, but he had to take those steps of faith, and he couldn't see anything but hundreds or thousands of feet down into this chasm, and he's supposed to take a step to try and cross over. And every time he took that step of faith, there appeared a solid stone for him to walk on. The path was there. He just had to believe that, you know, those faith steps were going to get him there. How is it any different for you and I? We maybe don't like that picture, do we? That we've got to take a step and believe in something that we can't see that isn't there, but we've got the promise of the Word of God, we've got the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples, and we can take those steps of faith and we can believe. Okay, so there's Hollywood. So faith needs exercise, doesn't it? If you don't exercise your faith, it's going to get, at best, flabby. But it's probably going to falter. And you're not going to take those steps of faith. Sometimes we need to just wait upon the Lord and not launch out without His presence and power. And there's one thing about faith, it obeys. One of the greatest ways to exercise your faith is just to obey the Word of God. And trust me, it does not make sense in 21st century America to live according to the Word of God. But if you take those steps of faith, then you prove it to be the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And you prove it to be that which is the only way to happiness and peace and joy. So we are saved by faith. We are to live and walk by faith. And we are to even take up our shield of faith. Remember in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. And the shield of faith is that Roman soldier armor and battle things that, you know, you have this shield, and this shield interlocked with the shield of the soldier that stood shoulder to shoulder to me. And together we had twice as much protection from the fiery darts of the enemy, Satan himself. And so we had a shield of faith. And if we had another one, then shoulder to shoulder here, there was. And so if those darts are coming high, we raise our shield. Those darts are coming low, we lower our shield. And we have that shield of faith that protects. As shoulder to shoulder, soldiers stood together. As brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we stand shoulder to shoulder by faith, believing and overcoming the fears of this world. Faith is foundational. Okay. Let's see if we can move on. Faith and fear cannot coexist. Imagine this. How can you have faith and how can you have fear in the same context? One is going to overcome the other. One must overcome the other. Now, I want to go a little soft on these disciples for my own sake, because fear is a reality. The reality is they're in a boat in a storm. Now, how would you feel? How would you respond? How would you react if you were in a boat in a storm and being swamped by the wind and the waves and the boat starting to fill up with water? That's reality. Now, equate that with some of the life circumstances that people live in. That's reality. So, I want to go a little soft. But how often do we imagine the worst and maximize the worst, and we minimize the power and the presence of God in our life, in the life of the church, and in the boat, in the storm in which we are traveling across this world in? You know, I think it's great that we have all of the wisdom and technology in medical science. But do you realize that today, from what I have experienced and heard, is that if you are being tested, they've got to eliminate the worst case scenario first and work their way back. So when my daughter and son-in-law, and there was a tumor found, the worst case scenario was that tumor had metastasized to vital organs in his abdominal area, and he would probably have a short time to live. Now send someone home with that kind of information. You're maximizing the worst case scenario that's going to happen. And you come back to reality was a tumor that was cancerous, that was removed along with a quarter of his stomach, and there's recovery, and there's maintenance chemo, and watching for any recurrence of cancer, but he's living a healthy, good life in Alabama. So it's not the worst case scenario, but what is the reality? We can deal with reality, but oftentimes we go right to the worst case scenario and maximize the worst. Now, we always got to come back. Who is in the boat with the disciples? Who is in the boat with the church? Who is in the boat of your life or your marriage or your family? Is Jesus in the boat? Then you have the power and the presence of the Son of God. How often does fear minimize the presence and the power of the God of God and maximize the worst case scenarios? Go to Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, and you would read, "So do not fear, for I am with you." Go to the Gospels, and how many times does Jesus say, "Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not"? What is it that stops Jesus in his tracks as he's walking through a crowd? And it's right here in the context of this calming the storm. He's going to someone who's asked to bring healing to someone in their family, in their life that is dying and has already died. And he's walking through this crowd. People are brushing up against him. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops in his tracks. And he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are saying, "Jesus, come on. I mean, you know, just like in the church, you know, greeting everybody. Everybody's hugging and touching and, you know, we're in a crowd. What do you expect? That you're not going to be touched?" And Jesus knew that power went out from him. And something had happened. And everyone kept quiet until finally the lady comes forward. And she had been suffering under a hemorrhaging for over 12 years. But she believed that if she just touched the garments of the Lord Jesus Christ, that she'd be healed, and she was healed. And it stopped Jesus right in his tracks. And he recognized that her faith had healed her. Whew. Everybody else, they just brushed up against him. But one lady, the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ brought healing to her life because of her great faith. Have we stopped Jesus in his tracks as he recognized the great faith and the power that has gone out? Faith and fear cannot coexist. You know, fear. What about worry? You know, if you are a worrier, any of us never worry? I mean, let's just all get in this together. Worry paralyzes, doesn't it? You know, if you're afraid, well, I think they have a reason to be afraid when they're out in the middle of a storm and they're being swamped. But if you're worrying because you heard the weather report that there's a storm coming and you don't even get in the boat, then worry has paralyzed you. So you know Jesus is in the boat and he's asked to go to the other side of the sea, but not me. I'm not getting in that boat. Do you know how often storms come up on this sea? Do you know how many boats are swamped and people drown on this sea? And do you know that it's cloudy out? And you want me to get in that boat? No way, Jesus. You guys go. Yeah. God bless you. Godspeed. I'm staying right here on shore. Isn't that what worry does? Why are we afraid? Why do we worry? Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. Jesus said, do you still not have faith? Jesus says, where's your faith? Are we exercising the faith that we profess to have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we exercising the faith that we profess to have in the Word of God and the promises of God's Word? Are we putting them into practice? Are we following them in obedience? Are we taking those steps and because we can't see, but we know that this is the path, this is the walk of faith that we've been called to, and we're sure that God's going to be the foundation upon which we walk. So what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of some catastrophic event, calamity, disaster, storm? You know, I already hear talk about how cold this winter is going to be. I already hear talk about how much snow we're going to have this winter. I've had an inch so far. That is not paralyzing me, by the way. That was beautiful. So don't let all this stuff paralyze us. You know, are you afraid of disease? Are you afraid of debt? Are you afraid of defeat and failure? Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of coping with depression? Are you afraid of the dangers of our world? This is a dangerous world. Are you afraid of being alone? Are you afraid of being rejected? Can you face down your fears with faith? Faith and fear cannot coexist. One will overcome the other. Okay. I think that's a good point, by the way. Faith is tested and proven. You know, I probably have a dream job, and that is being a test driver on one of those test tracks, you know, where you can just drive as fast as you want. Well, you know, you're testing out the cars. Do you ever think of life as a test track? Do you ever think of it as a laboratory of life where your faith is being tried and tested in order that it might be proven as genuine faith to the glory and praise of God the Father? Well, that's exactly what the Word of God teaches us. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Peter says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, for a little while, you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And these trials have come to prove your faith genuine, for the praise and the glory of God. Wow. Of greater worth than gold. So, all the money we might have in our accounts, all the whatever, faith is more valuable, is of greater worth than the riches of the world. We're going to vote on a budget. Faith is more valuable, and there needs to be faith that God's going to provide, that we're going to exercise that faith as God's children and God's people. And he's going to build up and increase our faith, and that's going to increase the ministry of Middle Creek Church. Tested, proven. When it's tested, it unveils the weaknesses, right? It unveils the flaws. It exposes where the need is to shore up, to build up, to increase our faith. And that's what's happening here with the disciples, isn't it? It's showing more their lack of faith than their great faith. But God's going to send them out, and they're going to need great faith to do the work of Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Okay, so faith, let's go on here. Faith is trusting in God alone to do the impossible. Now, if you look at the end of this passage here, the disciples, when Jesus says, "Where is your faith?" He asked his disciples. The disciples are in fear and amazement, and they ask one another, "Who is this anyway?" A little paraphrase. "He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him." Who is this man? And with what power does he have that kind of authority over nature that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this guy? Well, who is this guy anyway? This is the one we've put our faith in. This is the Son of God. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus. That's who this is. And when we're in the boat with him, the wind and the waves are going to obey him. All of nature is under his control. All things are under his control. Are we going to stay in that boat in fear of our lives? Are we going to stay on shore and say, "I'm not getting in"? Or are we going to be right there trusting that Jesus is going to get us to the other side safely? But without God's intervention, now listen, this is what happens in the storm, and this is what happens with our faith too, right? He brings us to that point where we're being swamped. We're being overwhelmed with the wind and the waves, and we're losing the battle. And if things continue on as they are, we're going to drown. If things continue on as they are, something horrible, awful, no good, the worst is going to happen if God doesn't intervene. Faith is trusting that God is going to do the impossible. He is going to intervene. He's going to do the supernatural. With the presence and the power and the authority, he is going to accomplish his purposes for his glory. Without the presence and power of God, we are dead in the water. And that's a little play on words here. Without the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are dead in the water and we are doomed for destruction. And stay on shore and don't get in the boat. But with the presence and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to persevere through the storm and we're going to get to the other side and we're going to give God all the glory. And that's what testing does. It produces perseverance. You know, I do not like the book of James. That guy just throws punch after punch after punch, and he starts right there with the right cross. Consider it pure joy. Oh, come on. When you face trials and troubles of many and varying kinds, how many of you consider that joy? Yeah, let's get real. We're just like the disciples. We're being swamped. The worst is going to happen. And sometimes we forget it's Jesus who's in the boat with us. And it's through the perseverance, it's through the trials that perseverance is produced and endurance. And you make it through the trials and the troubles of life and all the storms that are thrown at you. And you come out on the other side praising God for what he has done that could not have been done otherwise, all for his glory. Well, that's what faith does. Trusts God to do what we can't do. You know, in this whole Jesus being stopped in his tracks for faith, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, there's a centurion, which is a Gentile, I understand. So here's a Gentile, not a Jew. And the Gentile comes to Jesus. And he says, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and the one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Jesus, all you have to do is say the word. You don't have to come to my house. Just speak the words, and it'll happen. You have that kind of authority and that kind of power. Great faith, Jesus recognized. Okay, so faith is trusting in the presence and the power and the purpose of God. Faith is founded upon the promises of God's word. And the more you know the promises of God's word, the more you're going to understand the walk of faith that he's called us to. Jesus was not going to drown in a boat. That is not the purpose for which God brought Jesus, sent his son to the world. Oh, Jesus, he drowned in the sea. He had an accident. Accident in a storm. That's not going to happen to Jesus. He's going to be crucified on the cross. And there is nothing that is going to stop or thwart the purposes of God and whatever power, whatever authority it takes from God himself, his son is going to end up on that cross for your redemption, for your salvation. He came to save. He didn't come to be drowned. Israel was not doomed to die in the desert. Israel was not doomed to die in the middle of the Red Sea. They crossed it on dry ground. They were destined to live in the land that God promised them, Israel. Now, Pharaoh and his armies, they shouldn't have stepped foot on that dry ground, because it was God's purposes for them to drown in that Red Sea. God has a purpose. God has a plan. You are a part of God's purposes. You are a part of God's plan. Is it God's purpose for the church to drown? Is the church going to drown? Is the church going to fail? Is the church going to go bankrupt? Is the church going to... Not if Jesus is in the boat. Now, if Jesus isn't in the boat, well, get out of the church and get back on shore. But if Jesus is in the boat, we're going to cross the sea to the glory of God, and there's going to be people swimming to get in the boat. Because we're in a storm in this world, and they're going to, come on in, buddy, come on in, buddy, come on in, buddy. We got Jesus here. It's safe in the boat. It's not safe out there in the storm. I don't think you believe that. Even I would say, I believe, help my unbelief. Because so often I see little faith. Let's just be real. Okay, so the failures of our faith cannot, do not frustrate the purposes of God. Listen to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So if we are unfaithful, that's not going to stop God from being faithful, because that's who God is. He is a God who is faithful and He is going to do exactly what He promises. As I prayed, His word is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the exact purpose for which He said it. All to the glory and praise of God. So faith, trust, help me here, and believes in God. Now, okay. You know, I've been saying this for a while. I've been a Christian for 50 years. I took my first step of faith over 50 years ago and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and entered into a personal relationship with Him. Was that the last step of faith I needed to take? I sure hope not. Because it's supposed to be a faith walk. So there's certain things that I need to do to help my faith, to help my faith remain alive and healthy and well, and increase my faith. I need to worship. And that just isn't attending church. I think there's a lot of people that attend church and never worship. But I need to worship the Lord my God. I need to be in awe and reverence the God who created, the God who redeemed. I need to be in awe of Him and worship Him, and that worship needs to come from the heart. And if I don't have that love relationship going with my Lord, you know, the rest of it is for naught. And because I worship, I pray, I talk to Him. And my prayer is a part of my worship. I don't just come with my grocery list. You know, I need milk and bread and, oh, I need this and I need that. And No. Who are You, God? You are the awesome. You are the Creator, Redeemer, and Lord of all. You're the one who knows more about me than anyone else and still loves me. I can't believe it. You have forgiven me of everything that I've ever done in direct disobedience to Your word and to bring dishonor and rob You of Your glory. And You still love me and You sent Your Son to die. I need to talk to God in that manner and just praise Him and pray. And then I let Him know my struggles and my needs and my concerns too. I need to be in the Word of God so I know what I need to do in obedience. Faith finds great expression in obedience. You can't say I have great faith and not obey the Word of God. And how much of the world have we brought into the church? And I hear, I don't care what the Bible says, we don't do it that way here. Well, I don't care what you say, we're going to do it the way God's Word says it. But that takes faith. And that's obedience expressed in faith. And we need to keep doing that for the rest of our life, all of our life. And when I serve, I'm expressing my faith. I'm serving the Lord. It's a labor of love. Not for the applause of man, but for the applause of God. And we need to give. We need to be the most generous people on the planet. Because everything we have, if we understand it correctly, God has given it to us. And if it didn't come from God, then where did you get it anyway? And so I'm going to give as He has given. And He's given in abundance. He's given in blessing. And remember, faith is of greater worth than silver or gold. And then I need to go. If my faith is real, if my faith has been tried, tested, and proven to be genuine, then I need to go into that world and tell them the story. How many of you shared with your dog this week or your cat? or someone that was safe, the story of your faith in following Jesus. Did anybody do that this week? Oh, my goodness. I shouldn't have asked. So, I need to take those steps. I need to take those steps daily, weekly. If I don't take those steps, my faith's going to get flabby and it's going to falter when it's put to the test. Faith is not fearful. Faith trust and would put life on the line. Faith would put your neck on the chopping block. Faith would look foolish in the eyes and the ways of the world. Faith is not fearful. And the whole issue is the presence and the power of Jesus Christ was in the boat. The commission that we've been given as a church is therefore go and make disciples of all nations, ta ethne, all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And he prefaces that with, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So here we've got, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the end of the age. So the very presence of Jesus is with us. Sounds like he's in the boat. Sounds like he's in the business of building the kingdom. Sounds like he's in the business of building his church for the glory of the Father God. And it sounds like he wants to use you and me as we exercise our faith to be a part of building that church. Is it going to fail? Is it going to go belly up? Is it going to get destroyed? Not the church of the living God. Not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the church where the presence and the power of Jesus. We don't need to be afraid. We need to just walk in faith and trust one step at a time. God is faithful. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to say I believe, help my unbelief. And Lord, there is a lot of fear and cause, justifiably, for fear in this world. Financial fear in the economy in which we live. Physical fear with all the disease and death and stuff that's going on. Fear of someone with a gun who's gone a little crazy. We could think up all kinds of fears, Lord. And that would keep us right there on shore. Afraid, worried, paralyzed, lacking faith. And Lord, you have said to us that you want us to get in the boat with you. And you want us to cross, knowing full well that the storm's coming. knowing full well that there's going to be a threat of danger, knowing full well that your presence and your power is greater than any danger. And you will overcome as we persevere in faith, believing that your purposes are greater and higher than anything that humans could do. And without you, Lord, we can accomplish none of that. But with you, Lord, we can do more than you could imagine. And you've called us, Lord, to be a people who live and walk by faith, not by fear. So, Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith. And, Lord, oftentimes that comes because of the storms, because of the trials and the troubles and the tribulations that we experience, Lord, because of our coming to a point of desperation and crying out to you, and you supernaturally, Lord, intervening and doing what only you can do for your glory. So, Lord God, we pray that you would increase our faith. And we pray, Lord, for your presence and your power for Middle Creek Christian Church, that above all, Lord, it would be evident to everyone that this is not about the work of humans. This is all about the work that God alone can do in our lives personally and through us corporately as we stand shoulder to shoulder, taking up our shield of faith and overcoming the evils of our world. We pray for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.